It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. Coming to you after, obviously, just a gut-wrenching loss, a soul-crush. Like, of course, the moment we finally believe in this team again, the moment we finally get excited, the moment we finally feel like, oh man, they figured something out. They don't run the ball. Jalen Hurts has his worst game as an Eagle. Nick Sirianni goes back to being Nick Sirianni. And here we are, Elliot, after a loss to the freaking Giants. The earmuffs. 1, 2, 3. The fuck out of here, Giants. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, that game was not fun to watch. You know, we were texting during the initial part of the game. And you could tell right away how this was going, like right away, like within the first minutes. Like, I didn't think they would. I actually, till the end, thought they had a chance to win that game just because the Giants are so bad. But in the initial first few minutes, you could really tell where it was heading. It was going to be an ugly game. Jalen Hurts, we learn more and more about him the more we watch him play. He's definitely a quarterback where you can tell pretty much right away, like either he has it or he doesn't. And yesterday reminded me of the loss to the Cowboys, where you could tell right away, like, he didn't have it. And, you know, when I think about, like, who's to blame for the loss, and I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, obviously Sirianni, Hurts, Rager, clearly. But, like, where I ultimately fall down on it is, I don't think, for me at least, this is like a panic loss. I think it just, you said it repeatedly. There was going to be a game they lost that we weren't expecting, right? Neither of us thought it would be against the Giants because the Giants are so bad. And the Giants are bad. Like, the Giants did not play well yesterday.
No, the
right?
Eagles,
like,
lost the game way more than the Giants won the game.
Correct. Like, the Giants tried time and time again to hand that game to the Eagles, and the Eagles just didn't take it, right? Like, they literally dropped it, right? So I'm not ready to sit here and be like, all the progress from the last month didn't mean anything. I still don't, like, I'm not out on Sirianni. I'm not out on Hurts. Hurts had a really bad game. Sirianni had a bad start to the game and certainly made some, you know, larger, you know, mistakes in terms of game planning. But, like, it just was one of those games. You could tell right away it was one of those games. Hurts said it, yes, afterwards, and I thought it was, like, a pretty honest response. He said, like, it was just one of those days. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Like, it's not the exciting take. It's not like the, you know, roller coaster Monday overreaction, which I love to do take, but it's just, I think that's the correct take. Like, it was one of those days.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I'm not like, you know, panic mode or anything. I'm annoyed that I actually bought back in, especially, and this is what we talked about on Saturday, you know, on the WIP show, where, like, I felt like they were going to beat the Giants. I felt confident in it. But a part of me just wasn't willing to say, all right, like, I trust this team. And that was a perfect example of why. To your point, like, they just didn't show up yesterday. It was one of those games, and we'll get into all of it. Cut Jalen Reagor today! Sorry, just had to get that out there. God, I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. Sports hate.
Well, yeah, we'll
sports
get into
hate.
That. That
sports hate, not personal that. Hate. Sports hate. I hate Jalen Reagor as a football player. I never, ever, 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 ever want to see him in an Eagles uniform again. I know I'm going to have to, but if it were up to me, I would literally cut him. He is useless. He is a waste of playing space. He does not deserve a snap. Not one. He doesn't deserve a punt return snap. He doesn't deserve a receiver snap. I'd rather have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside going for the ball out there. Like, this guy stinks to high heaven. What a disastrous all-time bad. Honestly, like, that alone feels like a fireable offense, taking Reagor over Justin Jefferson. It feels like legitimately maybe the worst draft pick in the history of the franchise, considering who went next at the same position. Just an all-time horrible, horrible pick.
Let's talk about Reagor now.
Sure, sure, because he stinks. He stinks. That guy stinks. Like, I am so floored with how embarrassingly bad this guy is. And look, it's not his fault. He just stinks. It's not his fault. He shouldn't have been taking the first round. He shouldn't have been taking the first three rounds. Like, he is just not dynamic. He doesn't catch the freaking football. He is weak-minded. Like, he stinks.
All right, so I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. And let me just to start with saying, like, I agree with 98% of everything you just said. Like, Reagor, it's unfortunate for him. Like, and I feel bad. So my initial reaction when he dropped that pass was at the end of the game was I just felt bad for him. Like, and I don't know if that's because I'm getting older or like what, but like, I was just like, God, man, like, that's got to suck for him. Because, and like, and this is why with the Reagor thing, like, the anger you feel about it, I agree that the situation deserves anger for sure, right? And like, he can definitely be annoying on Twitter. But to me, like, the anger belongs at Howie and not Jalen. Like, what Nick Sirianni says a lot, and I think there's a lot of truth to it, is like, Reagor doesn't want to drop the ball. Like, Reagor didn't ask to be selected before Justin Jefferson. Like, yes, it's benefited for him, right? He's got a first round contract. Like, I believe Reagor is trying out there at times, although I do think there are snaps where it looks like he's jogging on routes. And I think you saw that yesterday against the Giants too. But like, ultimately, the venom's strong, because as you said, like, you don't actually have a personal issue with Reagor. This is like a sports thing, right?
Yeah, I hate but, like, I hate him as a football, but I'm allowed to hate him.
Exactly.
I hate him. I hate that he's on the team. I hate that he was drafted. I hate it.
Yes. Yes. And like, he has not shown the ability, like, he's not shown anything, in my opinion, to warrant snaps. Like, now, he did have a good training camp, but again, like, it's now week 11 or 12.
I mean,
like,
that of course it doesn't. The best play in the history of his career is a one-handed catch in training camp. Like, come on.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, no, I agree. But where my finger I point the blame at is, like, way more at Howie, because he made the pick.
Of course.
But the other issue they have is, like, they don't have anybody to put in over them. Like, I guess I'd play JJ, I guess. But, like, JJ dropped a very similar pass against the Lions a few years ago. You know, so, like, who are you going to put in there? Like, John Hightower. So, I think, yes, I would sit Aguilar. Wow, what a talk about.
Hey-o.
I would sit Reagor for a game, much like they did Aguilar in 2016. Like, I do think there'd be benefits to sitting him. But, you know, and this is similar to the Gannon thing. Like, they have nobody behind him that you could put in there. So, like, that falls on Howie. The fact, and I said it repeatedly during the offseason, they needed to sign a veteran receiver. Like, they needed somebody else besides one of the young guys because of exact moments like this, where Reagor doesn't take the step forward, where they need somebody to step in an emergency situation. Like, this is why they needed a veteran. So, yes, Reagor has shown no flashes. He's a bust. Like, he is. He's a flat-out bust at this point, right? But ultimately, like, man, it's such a bad look for Howie. Because, like, it's just such a bad look for him in so many ways. But his mismanagement of the receiver position is, like, really costing this team. And what makes it worse is the linebacker position, at least they're not investing anything in it. But, like, the receiver position, they've invested a ton into it, a ton of money, a ton of high picks. trades, all those things. And all they're left with is Devontae Smith and like kind of Quez Watkins. Like that's it. That's all they have after all these investments. And that directly falls on Howie.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to fight you on that one. I said it before. Right. I think it's like, obviously you don't fire a general manager because of one move, but if there were one move that deserved to get fired for, it's drafting Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. And look, I get it. Like I'm not, as I said, I sports hate Justin Jefferson. I have no opinions on him as a person. Whatever. But it also comes with the territory. You're a first-round pick. You get paid a lot of money. Like, sorry, pal. Like, you suck, and we're going to tell you you suck. Like, that's the way this thing works, especially with his attitude. Now he's been, like, you know, I was kind of been bristly on social media and all that type of stuff. It doesn't take a ton of accountability for his issues and all that type of stuff. So that's going to grind us too. But just on a basic level, he sucks. He sucks as a player. Every snap he gets is a wasted snap. It's not going to develop him. He's not going to turn into anything. He's a bust. Like you said, his career is over. Like Jalen Reagor will never be anything in this league ever.
Well,
honestly,
I think
JJ Arcega-Whiteside has a higher upside because at least the guy can play special teams and block.
Well, and I think what's concerning about Reagor is when Aguilar was struggling, like it was drops, right? And clearly Reagor had the drops.
And also Aguilar had had success before that. Like Aguilar at least had flashed in the NFL.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like Aguilar, even as a rookie, when he was really struggling, and then because his rookie year was 2015, then 2017, he like finally picked it up. But even the first 2 years, Aguilar was always a very good route runner, right? Like he was, and I'm sure Reagor's a hard worker too, but like Aguilar was a great route runner. He just had drop issues, right? And I remember when I first started covering the Eagles as an intern, like this must've been like 2010, 2011. I was working for G Cobb, Gary Cobb of WIP, and then obviously gcobb.com. And he said to me, he was like, to make it in the NFL, you have to be really good at one thing. Like there has to be one thing you do at an elite level. You brought up JJ. JJ is a great special teams player. He's a good blocker. Like that'll keep him in the league. Now he'll always be a fifth or sixth receiver, but that'll keep him in the league. Aguilar, elite route runner. That keeps him in the league. And it got him paid, right? Because he improved on the drops. The thing with Reagor is there is nothing he does right now at an elite level. Like nothing. And Sirianni said it like he's explosive. We have to try to get him the ball. He's not explosive. Like he's not. And I understand that Sirianni is not going to rip him at the podium. Just like no head coach would, right? But like there is nothing at this point Reagor does where you go, okay, we can build upon that. Like at least JJ's tall, has size and all that. Reagor's undersized. He's not physical. He's not elusive after the catch. He doesn't create separation. He's not a good route runner. And honestly, drops weren't an issue for him really until yesterday. But now those two drops were two of the worst drops I've ever seen covering the Eagles. Like the Alshon drop was really bad considering the moment, clearly. But like, dude, the second one and really the first one.
Yeah,
I know people
both.
Think some people, they're both terrible. Like they're both terrible drops. So that's Reagor's problem is like he doesn't have anything to lean on. In a moment where he needs an elite skill to lean on, he does not have one. And it's obviously a major problem.
Yeah, and it's evident. I mean, just watching the guy, like obviously he doesn't get open. The drops were huge. But I mean, even on punt returns, you can see it. Like yeah, he doesn't have a first step. Like he takes that first step and you any punt return in the league, like all these like little guys that teams just find and throw out there, like they can blow by someone with a first step. They can make a move and get by someone. Like every bleeping time he makes a move and he gets caught. Like there is just nothing dynamic about him. Like that's what he was drafted to be, right? A dynamic weapon with athleticism and speed, and you do things with him. He can't do anything. He is not dynamic. Well, he's not fast. He's not athletic. He's not quick. Like he's none of it.
And this is what, and people got mad at me about this more so amongst my friend group. I don't tweet about it often, but like I've always said that I thought the punt return against Green Bay was not impressive. Like the blocking on that was amazing. He didn't look fast to me on that return. Like again, you know, credit to him. He returned it. But like to your point, like if you're ever going to show any explosiveness, it would be on a punt return. Like, you know, that's why you're back there. So like, but this is also to a certain extent, like nothing we didn't know, you know, like he should have made those catches. They were wide open. The first one was a great throw by Hurts. The second one, good throw by Hurts, like good finding him and all that. We can talk about that play on a larger scale, but like you got to make those catches. Like, they're easy catches to make. They're easy catches. The Eagles win the game if he makes the catch. I still think there's red flag. Like, there's still, it's not an impressive
win. It's
an
ugly win, no matter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's a win. And it's a win where we talk about it and go, you know what? They won when they didn't play well. That's a special play where, you know, it, maybe something special is happening here. Like, all those things. And we talk often about how quickly things change in the NFL and all that, like, and how much of it's kind of luck. Like, Rager drops that pass, and now it's way different. And it didn't come down. It's not his fault they lost the game. I think Hurts deserves more blames, all those things. But, like, Rager had a chance to save the day. That's why you draft somebody in the first round to make a play there. It's not even a first-round play. Like, it's an easy play. But that's where you want your players to step up. And he didn't do it. And, yeah, it was brutal. It was just absolutely brutal. Still feel bad for him. I don't know. But, like, it was just brutal.
Yeah. I struggle to feel bad. I get it. You know, holistically, I feel bad for anyone in that situation. Right. But, man, it's tough. All right, let's get to Hurts because we've mentioned him a lot. But and again, I do think to your point you just made and just in a general sense, you know, look, it is I think we should have expected this type of game to happen. You know, that's kind of where I was going, but I couldn't get myself there with the show on Saturday and stuff where it's like, you know, we shouldn't have expected this Eagles team that is not great. You know, at best, they were a decent team. We were hoping that could maybe, you know, do one thing really well and ride it into the playoffs. But they're not. You know, they are a mediocre to below average team that is getting better over the course of the season. But we should have expected a letdown game like that, a bad performance like that. And yet, like, to your point, if they had found a way to pull it out at the end, it's a very different perspective on it. But they didn't. And the result is, you know, it's a big loss in the division in a game you should have had. And look, Hurts was horrible. You know, I think probably the worst game Hurts has had as an Eagle. I think it was probably worse than the Dallas game. Certainly the worst first half he's ever had. Really uncharacteristic first half. I mean, the decision making was the worst we've ever seen from him. And that obviously, you know, we all remember it. It was talked about, but the play at the end of the half about, I mean, just from a decision making perspective, the dumbest thing I think Jalen Hurts has ever done in Eagles uniform. Like, it was crazy. Like, it was like, what are you thinking? The entire play and just a horrible first half, throwing the ball up for grabs, like, wasn't protective of the football the way he's been. And look, he made a couple plays in the second half. The legs still special and showed that and stuff. And they weathered the Kelsey injury and this and that and still had a chance at the end. And if Rager makes some catches, you know, if Boston Scott doesn't fumble the ball, like, we might be looking at this very differently and saying, you know, horrible game for Hurts, but they pulled it out. They didn't. Hurts was horrible. What are your thoughts on the game from Hurts and in general?
So the interesting thing about Hurts' performance, and we do this every, not just us, like, everybody does it every week with Hurts, is like, okay, is he the guy? Is he not the guy? And to me, yesterday's game, he was terrible. Like, I was debating this, like, who deserves the most blame for the loss, like Sirianni or Hurts? I was leaning Hurts most of the game. I flipped a little to Sirianni, but, like, they're number one and 1A. Like, they're right up there. And Hurts was absolutely terrible. Like, the decision at the end of the first half, that's not something you see, like, a fourth string quarterback in a preseason game make, right? Like, end of preseason games and halves are better than what that was. He has to know to throw that ball. You snap it with 8 seconds. Like, he made the mistake of rolling out of the pocket. And at that point it was done because, like, at that point the play was you were going to run the clock out and you had to try to do something with it. He should have, the second his first read was there, he should have just, like, either pegged it at the ground or whatever, like, get the play over with. That's an inexcusable mistake for him. The interceptions, 3 interceptions, obviously not good. Like, the Quez one, the one to Quez, maybe Quez stops there. Regardless, it's an interception. The one deep down the field, that was an ugly throw. The one to Boston Scott that we just talked about at the end of the half, a bit of a desperation. It did look like maybe the Giants defender pushed Scott, but, like, regardless, 3 interceptions is unacceptable. The reason I don't think it's a red flag game for me is, it's not, you said the word, and I think it's perfect, like, uncharacteristic. Like, it was not a game where the problems that you do get concerned about Hurts with showed up. Like, accuracy actually wasn't a ton, like, a huge issue. There weren't, like, wide open throws that he had missed earlier in the year, like he did against San Francisco and he did against the Chargers, right? Like, there were those games where he's missing guys. This game, he just made bad decisions. And if there's one thing Hurts is good at, it's being smart with the football. So I think, like, his game was just one of those days. I don't think his poor performance negates how much improvement we've seen from him over the last month. Like, so he's why they lost the game is probably where I ultimately land on it. But it's not a huge concern for me, if that makes sense. I get they sound a bit counter,
I think, and again, it's of course, it's, we should have seen it coming when the Ian Rappaport report comes out before the game saying, Jalen Hurts has played his way into the franchise QB. You know, like, he keeps this going. They're not going to.
I had a quick tangent.
Sure.
That report was so funny to me. It's like, as sources explained to me, if Hurts is good, the Eagles can then use their picks.
I know.
It's like, duh, like, in respect to Ian, he's one of the best reporters out there, but it's like, why did you need that explained to you? Like, it's very obvious. Like, if Hurts plays well, then they don't have to draft a quarterback, like, clearly. So I thought the report was a little silly, but it definitely was put out there by somebody. Like, somebody wanted
course.
It out there.
Well, and of course, it's ironic and hilarious that, of course, the day that report comes out, Hurts has a stinker. Like, we should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
And look, I come down to it very similarly as you, in the sense that, look, he's 23 years old. He is still not played a full season in the NFL of games. You know, he's going to have games like this still. And he had one in a bad spot. It was cold. It was a divisional game, all this type of stuff. And he just played like crap. Like, he played like crap.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I'm not going to condemn his career. It's so true. And it is what it is. But it's definitely been such a, you know, one game react this way and next game react that way. And it's like, you can't decide whether a guy is a franchise quarterback or not based on one performance or two performances or whatever. So, like, I'm not going to condemn Hurts for a bad performance yesterday and say he's clearly not the guy, but it was definitely a bad performance. It was, like you said, uncharacteristic of him in terms of the decision-making, but we definitely saw some ugly throws, some you know, the things that people are concerned about, some poor decisions.
Yeah, he's why they lost the game.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he is why they lost the game, is where I come down on
it. I think it's I mean, like, we'll get to Sirianni. I think there are multiple reasons. And again, if Jalen Reagor catches one of two footballs, they probably win the game.
Yeah, so, Hurts is a hero. Yeah. We're talking about him. So I do a report card after the game. And after the Carolina game, I gave him an A because I'm like, look, ultimately he struggled, but they won the game at the end. And I wouldn't give him an A yesterday. But, like, you know me, I'm a big quarterback wins guy. Like, if he would have pulled that off yesterday, we're talking about him a lot differently. And I think it's a positive for him. But you know, he didn't. And to what you said about his legs, I think that's important to bring up because that is what separates him from other quarterbacks. Because if a non-mobile quarterback is having the day that he had yesterday, like, things look even worse. And they only scored 7 points, so it's not like it could have been much worse. But at least when he's struggling throwing the ball, he can lean on his legs and be an effective player that way. Like, that matters a lot when we talk about his deficiencies as a passer. The fact that he has something else to go to when that's not working does really help.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's elited it and made some huge plays there and all that. But again, ultimately, on a basic level, he didn't play well. They lost, and he was a big reason why they lost. And he has to shoulder that. He has to take the blame for that, especially a game that, you know, again, like I said at the top, we should have expected this team to not, you know, just be a juggernaut all of a sudden and start winning games and roll and all that. But it's still, you know, those are the games you want to see him win. Those are the games you want to see him early in his career. If he's trying to grab this job and run with it, literally and figuratively, you want to see him win those games, find ways to pull him out. And his guys didn't help him out, but, you know, he put himself in a hole as well. And that was a very winnable game. You know, the Giants stink. The Giants are so bad.
Yes,
like,
agreed.
They did not win that game. The Eagles lost it. And I think that's why it's so frustrating.
I have a question for you quickly. The Giants, like, I still believe the Eagles are far ahead of the Giants in the rebuild. I would much rather have the Eagles situation. I know they lost yesterday, but the Giants are a legit dumpster fire. Here's my question for you. There's been each week when they've ran the ball a ton, the thing has been, okay, when they, you know, one of these days Hurts is going to have to throw them for a win. Can he do it? Can he do it? I don't really think yesterday qualified as that because they did it over 200 yards rushing the ball and the running game did work. But, like, would you say yesterday qualified as a, they needed Hurts to do it and he couldn't do a game? To me, I don't really think so, but I could see why it would. Just curious what you think.
I don't think so for that. I mean, again, like, you know, Hurts made throws that could have won them the game, you know, basic level. And look, I mean, not just
the
throws.
Fumble,
I mean, look, they had two touchdowns taken off the board. Again, the Nate Herbig penalties were absolutely massive, especially on the Boston Scott run. I mean, Greg Ward drops a touchdown pass. I mean, we haven't even talked about that, but that was a perfect throw. You have to catch that. You're Greg Ward. You get on the field
100%.
for five offensive snaps a game, and you can't catch that ball. I mean, a disaster. I mean, that's a disaster. And another spot where 90% of veteran receivers in the NFL make that play. Just
And another bad thing for Howie there.
Yeah.
Like, I like Greg Ward.
But that's another bad one. I agree. It was a bad day for Howie. I'm really with you on that. But again, I think that's why it's so hard with Hurts. It's that, yes, I think he gets blamed for this. I think he needed to play better, and he didn't. He needed to make some more plays when he could have. But ultimately, you can point to like 5 or 6 or 7 other things where if that one person had helped out in that one spot, or Boston Scott hadn't have fumbled the ball, or that, you know, so many things where you're like, well, that wasn't Jalen Hurts' fault, and they could have won the game because of it.
And the Scott fumble, look, the Rager drops are going to get more headlines, and they should. Like, they were in bigger spots in a way. But, like, the Scott fumble, man, like, that puts them in such a tough spot. If he doesn't fumble that ball, they're in Giants territory, well over a minute to play, and they have three – actually, it might have been over 2 minutes. But regardless, they have all three timeouts, right? So – but now they have to punt, right? They burn all three timeouts. They get the ball back. So, like, that Scott fumble was huge. Like, absolutely. Like, Rager, people are more mad at him, all that stuff. But, like, that fumble was very costly. If Miles Sanders fumbles that, I think it's a much bigger story today.
I agree.
Because he's a bigger name and all that stuff. But, like, that Scott fumble was massive.
It was massive. All right. Obviously, we'll get to more stuff as the week goes on. We'll record pods. We'll kind of span out. But let's get to Sirianni, as we haven't talked about him yet. And look, I don't think it was as bad a day for Sirianni as Hurts, but, you know, I think you have to rip Nick too. I mean, again, to come out for that game, and eventually they got there, and eventually they ran all over the Giants, but you can very easily say if they had just come out with the game plan they had in the second half and the first half, they win the game. They're not in the hole. It's not an issue because they run all over the Giants. Like, it made no sense whatsoever after all we talk about the whole week. Oh, they finally found an identity. Best running team in football. If you could do one thing well, you can win against all these mediocre teams. And then you don't do it? And then you come out and you're like, let's throw the ball to win? Like, just a mystifying move from a game planning, scheming perspective coming into this game. And again, he eventually got there, and eventually they ran the ball well, and they almost won the game because of it. But he put them in a hole. Like, he again, as bad as Jalen played, and he deserves it, the game plan given to Jalen for this game sucked ass too, Elliot.
So I'm like 65 to 70, maybe a little higher percent there with you on that one. Like, I agree. So one thing I've really given Sirianni credit for is the fact that they the last few weeks were bringing it to opposing defenses as opposed to like reacting to what they do, right? Like, if you come out and run it against the Saints and the Broncos, you should come out running it against the Giants. So, like, I agree with you. Now, I went back and I looked, because watching it live, I think we texted about this. Like, it did look like he was getting pass happy. Like, before you look at like the numbers and the situations and all that, like, it felt like he was getting pass happy and they were passing it more than they should have. So I agree with you, right, on a larger scale. I went back and I looked, and like the first drive, so he runs it the first play of the game, they lose a yard, then you're in second and 11. Like, maybe you run it there, but he didn't. They have an incomplete, and so now you're in third and 11 and you have to throw it, right? And the loss on first down is noteworthy to me, because one thing this team has done a good job of is not falling behind the sticks, right? Like, they've not been in a lot of situations where, like, exactly like that one, where it's first and 12 or first and 11 or whatever, and then you're in a tougher spot. The second and third drive to me is where he really got out of control. The second drive, he runs it on the first two plays. I think they get like seven yards or something like that. He then passes it. He proceeds to pass it 9 out of the next 10 plays, including the third drive where he passed it on every play and they went 3 and out. So, like, he got pass happy on the second and third drive. Fourth drive, he goes and they start running the ball, as you said. So I think he deserves blame for the fact that early on in the first few drives, he was too pass happy. And the reason it's a larger problem than it would have been if he did it in like the sixth or seventh drive is because that speaks to like what he wanted to do coming into the game to a certain extent, right? And I don't see why you would come in wanting to pass the ball. The only thing I would fight back on, and I don't even know if you would even disagree with this, is like Sirianni has to be allowed to call passing plays. Like, I understand they're a better running team than they are a passing team, and he should have gone with that. But ultimately, they cannot run the ball 90% of the snaps. Like, Jalen Hurts in the passing game, and that falls on the receivers too, have to be able to move the ball through the air. Like, they don't have to do it on 40 throws a game because they've shown the Eagles can run the ball. But, it, you know, like, ultimately, Sirianni has to be able to trust his passing game to a certain extent. And that's why I can't kill him too much for being too run heavy, because he's shown he's willing to run the ball. But like, ultimately, if he says to himself, like, this is a passing down and this play should work against this coverage, then like the passing game has to be able to execute.
But
too.
I get that. But at the same time, like, evidence is there, man. Like, this is a running team. This is what you do best. This is what Hurts does best. Like, you got to run the ball. Like, I know what you're saying.
I agree,
but like, he came out and threw the ball more. Like, it wasn't just situational. It wasn't whatever. It was the game plan was, we're coming in this game because we think we can throw on the Giants. That was dumb. Clearly, you can run on the Giants. You can run on anyone. Your game plan should never be, we're going to come in and throw the ball. Like, you can't do that with this team. You have to play, again, back to the whole, like, Nick Sirianni thing from the beginning. Play to the abilities of your players. This team is a running team. Like, flat out, it is what it is. A Baltimore Ravens-style offense. Like, that's what this offense has to do, and that should be your game plan every single week, particularly against the 26th or 27th, you know, run defense like they were, and it clearly showed you could run on them. Like, now, there's no excuses for Nick on this one. It was a bad decision. I agree with your general point of, like, yeah, the passing game's got to be better. It does, but it's not. And that's on the head coach to know that, and he should have come into the game knowing that.
Well, yes, and that's why I mostly agree with you, but, like, what, you know, the Giants also knew that, right? And I haven't had a chance to rewatch a game, but I'd imagine they stacked the box quite a bit. Like, now, the other perfect example, I think, of, like, where it's on Sirianni for sure, but it also speaks to the fact that this also falls on, like, the quarterback in the passing game, is I think it was the start of the third quarter. I'm almost positive it was, actually. They were facing a 3rd and 2 and then a 4th and 2.
Yeah, they should have. Unbelievable they didn't run on either of those, particularly on 3rd. If you're going to go for it on 4th, run on 3rd. What are you doing?
Agreed. Yep. I thought it was bad decision-making by Nick Sirianni. Like, you're a strong running team. You should run the ball there, especially on 3rd, like you said. If not 3rd, like, dude, one of the plays that, like, almost no defense has shown they can stop is just Hurts running to the sideline. Like, he might not get 7 or 8 yards, but he pretty consistently gets, like, 2 or 3, right? So I think that it was bad play calling. But then also, like, if your passing game has 2 plays to get 2 yards, I know they're not a good passing team. Any passing team in the NFL should be able to get 2 yards on 2 plays, right? So that's where, at the same time, where it does fall on Sirianni. And look, he also deserves blame for the fact that they came out flat. Like, that falls on him too. If we're going to give him credit for the fact that they like rebounded from the Raiders loss and all that, then he deserves blame when they come out flat. And that's on him too. But like, Hurts played so poorly that I can't like completely kill Sirianni, because you have to have some semblance of a passing game. Like,
yeah,
even
but
at least
I get it. But again,
even in these games,
but you know what your team is. You know what your team is. And especially when Jalen comes out bad, then you should adjust even quicker. Like, I know your point. I like macro drink. I agree with you. Like, yes, the passing game has to be better. You have to be able to rely on them to make those plays. But you got to know your personnel. You got to know your team. Like, they can't. Sorry, they're not good at it. Like, run the freaking ball. Like, that's it. Like, you got to come in. And especially with this offensive line, this team, you got to come into every game saying, we're running the ball. Stop us. And if they stop you, that's when you adjust. And that's when you go to another thing. But you do what you do best until someone stops you. Because guess what? No one stopped you yet.
Yeah, I mean, and they did have over 200 yards. So ultimately,
they could have had way more. Like, run the ball from the beginning. That's what makes it so mystifying, and that's why it's such a missed opportunity. Because it feels like, and again, I know this is anecdotal, but it feels like if they had come out with the game plan they had for the you know, essentially the last 3 quarters, or you know, the last 2.5 quarters of the game from the beginning, they win the game.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I think the 2nd and 3rd drive, and those are early on, like, game plan type drives, I agree he was too pass happy. 100%. I agree with you on that. That's really it. I mean, like, I still think Hurts playing.
I get it. Look, again, I think they're separate things. I think they're separate things. I understand your point. Like, they need to be better in the passing game. He needs to be able to call plays when he needs passing plays. I agree, but he didn't need him early. Like, he came out with the wrong plan. So, but I agree. Yeah. I think they're separate points. All right, let's get to a couple quick things before we get out of here. And we'll get, again, to more as the week goes on. Where the hell was Dallas Goedert? Was he even playing yesterday? Was he on the roster?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, I actually put I'm torn on who to put more blame on. Like, Rager getting seven targets, I think, is just fluky. Like Sirianni said after the game, and then he doubled down on it with Angelo on Monday morning, that like those drops that Rager had were not plays called for Rager. Like the Eagles don't call plays for Rager. Like they'll do a screen every once in a while, but they game plan for Smith and Goddard. Like that's who they game plan for. So my question is like the fact that they only had, I think it was five combined targets, or maybe it was five or six. Like they had less than Rager did. Do you put that on Hurts for just not throwing them the ball, or do you put that on Sirianni?
I think it's probably both. I know that, you know, everyone's talked about on how Smith was open on that last play, and it looks like he was. It doesn't excuse the regular drop, but, you know, it could have gone that way with it. And Smith seemed frustrated with what was happening out there, and I don't blame him. And, look, I think it's on both of them. I think you force the ball into their hands. So I think Sirianni should have called specific plays where they literally forced the ball into those guys' hands more, probably yes. And I also think Hurts probably didn't find him on spots where he should have. But I think when it's that drastic, when it's, you know, that many, I think you got to blame the coaching staff more than the quarterback, because the idea being that were they never open the entire game, you know,
right.
Like, whereas, you know, schemes and plays, get the ball in their hands, you know, run a little crossing route for Goddard. You run that little, you know, out route that keeps having success. Like, do something where you just get them some easy catches, get them involved in the game, whatever. I'm sure the Giants were planning to take them out of the game, obviously. But even still, like, yeah, I think you got to find ways to force them the ball. They're your not just two best playmakers. They're your, like, only two playmakers in the passing game.
And they're both really good. It's not just that they're both. It's not just that they're your best two options. They would be two of the top options on most teams. Like they are good players. So you have to try to get them the ball. What's funny about the Smith reaction is on one hand, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like you can't really show your quarterback up like that. I understand you're frustrated, but like running around, throwing your helmet, like, you know, not a good look. On the other hand, I'm like, well, if we ever needed any proof, Devontae's a number one wide receiver. Like there it is. Like that is like a, you know, diva type move where it's like that's the attitude those receivers have. So, you know, I'm kind of kidding, but I do think, like, you know, he showed like he's got that in him, and I wouldn't have done it, but that's why I'm not number one receiver in the NFL.
You're damn right, buddy.
Only reason, really.
Defense, you know, not much to say. I thought on the whole, you know, defense was pretty good. You know, I think you know, obviously there's some issues you can point to, and you know, it wasn't a perfect outing, but I thought the defense for the most part held up well, and, you know, blitzes caught them, this and that, but I thought for the most part, you know, scheme, talent perspective, defense played well enough to win.
I mean, they're playing a bad offense. So, you know, I do think that factors in, but they only gave up 13 points. Like, yeah, I thought it was a very good day. They're up to 15th in the league in points, you know, allowed. So, you know, I don't want to overlook it, because had they had a bad game, we would have ripped them playing that offense. And so they did. They did exactly what they needed to do. The defense played more than well enough to win the game. And I think they definitely deserve credit for that.
Yeah. Jason Kelce, a Warrior. Couldn't believe he got back out there. And obviously they need him after Driscoll got hurt. We'll have to see with the Driscoll injury. It wasn't a great day from an injury perspective. A lot of guys dinged up and whatnot. We'll see what carries over. I mean, I think
dude,
that
Nate Herbig too. Like, come on,
just
man.
Brutal.
Like
what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, the Boston's got a touchdown. I mean, again, that's a game-changing penalty right there. It really was. Both were, but particularly on the touchdown as the way that played out. Obviously, I think that's all I got. Obviously, we'll get more into stuff over the week. You got anything else you want to get into before we get out of here?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, and I've been banging this drum, so maybe it starts to ring hollow. But like, they're only a half game out of the playoffs. You know, like, I don't think realistically either of us thought they would actually win the remaining six games on their schedule. So like, they play the Jets next. I think that's obviously a winnable game. They win that game, and then the Washington games become huge. But like, I don't think yesterday should like erase the talks of playoffs or anything like that. I still think this is a team that it's still true. They can still do one thing really well. And you've said this, like, they can still run the ball really well. They still have an easy schedule. It was a disappointing loss, but I thought because of the way they lost it, it was not like a huge red flag. And I still think there's a good chance they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think I know there's a chance. They're only a half game out. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think yesterday was a reminder of what we talked about going in the sense that, yeah, they still do one thing well. They could beat some teams, but they're going to have games like this. They're just not a consistent good team. Like,
what percentage
just
would you put at? I'm just curious.
To make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't know. 15%?
Okay. See, I'm at like 40.
Oh yeah.
So I'm not over 50, but I'm higher.
Yeah. Again, because like to make the playoffs, they have to win essentially like minimum. They can only lose one more game, and theoretically win out if you want to lock in a playoff spot. But they have to at least only lose one more game if they're gonna make the playoffs. Like, why would I believe that after what I saw yesterday?
So are you? Do you?
I mean, they won two in a row, and we were like, oh, you know, they still.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Well, like, you think they're going to win four out of five or whatever it is?
No, I think there's less than a 50% chance they do it. But Cowboys Saints, who do you root for? Do you keep the division hope alive, or do you root?
No,
for
the division's over. The division is.
So you root for the Cowboys?
Oh, you have to. You have to. And even then, I don't think it'll matter because again, I think they're going to miss the playoffs, but. I don't think they're going to win out. You know, I don't think they're going to, I think they'll probably, you know, I think what do they have? So they are now 5-7. So they have five games left. Like, I think they probably go 3-2 down the stretch. I think, let's put it this way.
I think
they're more likely to go 2-3 down the stretch than they are to go 4-2 at this point.
Yeah. I think it could go either way. Honestly, I'm a little more obviously on the side where I think they could possibly do it, but you, like, I can't disagree with your logic. Like, I don't think you're being like overly reactive or being a hater or anything. Like, I think what you're saying makes sense.
All right. Well, we'll be back more this week. A bummer of a week, but let's hope, you know, look, Elliot's point is factually correct. They are still in it. They are still alive. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe they get a win on Sunday and get some excitement back in the city. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, that's it. I feel like I'll save my long final, you know, like all fun final thoughts for the midweek pod.
Yeah.
Post-game pods don't feel like fun.
No, certainly not that game. All right, we'll be back for a more fun pod later in the week. Get your reviews in. We'll look at some reviews later in the week. 5-star reviews only if you want to get your question answered on the pod. And we'll answer any question you put in there. And you know, it's a bummer of a day. But, you know, to Elliot's point, this might not do it for me, but I'll do it for everyone else. Christmas season, Elliot? That's something to get excited about, right?
Well, I did fall asleep to a Hallmark
there you
movie last
go.
Night. So things are still going well.
All right. We'll be back later in the week. Ah, what a bummer. He's Elliot and James. Talk to you guys soon.